Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. Politics on the Navajo Nation, brought to you by Cal Nez Design, and hosted by Cal Nez himself.
Oh!
But hey, Josh, you know, this is Cal Nez. You listen to Politics on the Navajo Nation. Tonight is Friday. Politics on the Navajo Nation with yo ko e kat asado ba asni na khe ko ro yut o hitla hil na o ko di Navajo Nation government jo agency Washington yaju tsaga ho zanjit na a jo e a jo e bilkhaz a ko e jo e a don len chapter house dan nel ko ko government administration. Our topic tonight is President Russell Begay and Vice President Jonathan Nez. And are you pleased with their new appointees? Who are the new appointees? Navajo Times, off Navajo Nation, So what do you think about that? Are you pleased with the fact that they're reaching out? And also another question that I have for you is that with this new administration, is he a president that you feel like has won the administration, elected position with full support, and meaning that the majority, and then what will really constitute the majority? And this is something for you to think about. Now, you know, if it was a very close race, obviously it was a very split, but the Russell Begay finished in a third position in the primary election on August 26th. And, of course, he went into this capacity as the replacement candidate after Chris Descheny was disqualified. So because of that, where exactly is the general public's opinion about Mr. Begay, or now President Russell Begay? And also, although he's been in the Navajo Nation Council delegate from Navajo Mountain area, Inscription House, and that area to a second candidate. Jonathan Nez, Arizona, ako a border town. Ako to. When they snuck, ako jo are a nejata sa inauguration that was stand. Ako, one of the questions that I have is that who is currently a part of his administration? Who is in the president's office? Who is the new chief of staff, if there's been one appointed or not? So that's something to look at. And beyond the chief of staff, who is he appointed? I mean, who is he brought in? And how many of his campaign people have come in? And if there's been any, what's your thoughts on that? Was the support based on the old adage that the campaign people, they support a certain candidate for a job promise, that they really are just looking for a job? Well, I'm not saying that that's the case in President Russell Begay's administration, but if there is, why don't you call in and share us what you think? And now, going forward, you know, like I said, I've been working with the Navajo Nation government for 28 years. The Navajo Nation government, I've seen change from a chairmanship to the president. I've seen how the council delegates, the legislative branch, morphed from what it is, which was a chairman was the he conducted the meeting for the council, so forth and so forth, and really at that time, which is around 1989-90, that time period was when the new form of government, really a three-branch separation, took place. And so I've seen how the three branches work with each other, okay, or attempt to work with each other. So there is those are some of the experiences that I think would be very, very important to know, that while you are serving the capacity of the president, to really understand the history of where the Navajo Nation came from, what initiatives and where things came from, and who were the influential people behind this. And not to say that that should determine what your philosophy would be for the future of the Navajo Nation, but is more as a what to do and also what not to do. And also, the reason why that I bring up and see what you think, because it comes down to one thing: the president is only as good as his people, is only as good as his executive staff, is only as good as his political appointees for each of the divisions, because they must be in total harmony with one another to be able to implement what he, president, Russell Begay, he is. Now, just to randomly pick somebody out of the hat, so to speak, with resumes coming in, were these appointees, were they on board prior to, and what did they know about the Navajo Nation government? And not only that, they certainly might be qualified to run a certain department, like if they ran some organization or business off Navajo. I mean, of course, running an industry out there is totally different than going back to the Navajo Nation. Now, how much of that are these people so green that there's going to be a learning curve about maybe a year and a half to possibly 2 years to really understand the system? Now, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? And also the chief of staff. In a lot of cases, when the president and vice president are both out of the office, the chief of staff is the one that has been appointed to take care of the homestead, so to speak. And so when you're there, is he able to conduct himself in a professional manner, in a very inclusive manner for him to invite? And is he able to embrace everybody into President Begay's administration? Because there's going to be opposition. People who didn't support Russell Begay are going to be coming in asking. Now, is going to be a vindictiveness on their part? And this is one of the things that's always has been my pet peeve, is that the vindictiveness with an administration. Well, you didn't support me, so therefore I'm not interested, and we'll just prolong this thing. But maybe my friendship or your friendship with Russell Begay started long before Mr. Begay, who is now President Begay, became a president. So based on that, you would assume that relationship will continue, other than you add the word President Begay or Mr. President, and the relationship continues. But you might be able to share something that you'll be able to bring to the table. And is there going to be a change on his part from being an inclusive individual to being a very guarded? Or is he inclusive, but his people are going to be the gatekeepers and keep people away from Russell Begay? And no matter how good the administration, I have seen this. The reason why that it's so important is that I hope that all of you know that this is exactly what happened. And for us to be aware, because I think those times and those type of philosophies and attitudes have got to stop. I will never agree with that. I will never agree with how that we put our own people, no matter how good they are, and which politics and who they voted for and supported during the campaign. You know what? You put all that aside, and we're all the same people. Let me take money, for instance. When it comes to the money that people draw from, that are being paid on paydays, it starts with the president, vice president, all of his staff, everybody that is employed with the Navajo Nation government, all the way across the board, from central government to the outskirts of the Navajo Nation, all the way down to the little offices and tribal offices that are satellited way out there on the Navajo Nation. They all draw from the same money. And maybe with the exception of that, some of the chapters, they go out there and get grants. And, or in that case, you know, they might utilize that for operations, but in most cases, this goes back to their budgets for extra, you know, just other stuff that don't necessarily pay for their for salaries. So, but all in all, just overall, in general case, within the Navajo Nation government, here's the thing that people fail to see, and this is for all of the branches, executive branch, legislative branch, and judicial branch, and all of the departments, central, all the way through to the chapter government. Okay? A government only comes, and it only comes to what it is to be a government, to call itself a government. It has to have people, which makes up the government, and who operates that government are the people who are elected or appointed or hired by the government. They operate, and that's why we have elections. And the elections, people come in, people utilize their expertise and different philosophy, their campaign pledges that they've made, their campaign promises. And so that's why you have an influx of these, you know, divisions changing. And so now, with all of that, no matter who and how that a particular administration comes in, the fact of the matter is that the Navajo Nation government is constant. I'm not saying that it's perfect. I mean, it's going to be there. That's a given. We have a reservation, and we have a land base, and a central government, unless there's a major overhaul, that, like Chiliazi was saying during his campaign, we're going to do a major overhaul. You know, that was just the most outlandish thing that I ever heard. I mean, going backwards, you know, it just was the most, you know, like, okay, what are we going to go back to? And, but rather than going backwards, I mean, why don't we move forward and add what we need to from the tribal, from our tribal and traditional know-how and leadership of how the past, and be able to make that functional, because we have no choice but to move forward. So anyway, I keep getting off on what I'm trying to say here. What I'm trying to say here is really is that the Navajo Nation government, the monies that it makes and everybody gets paid for, including all of the budgets within each of the departments, that includes the contracts that are given out to buy products, service, you know, what have you, on behalf of the Navajo Nation. But that money all comes from the same source. So let's say a business goes in there and says, hi, I want to do business with the Navajo Nation. Well, go through, register yourself, this is what you need to do and how you need to get it accomplished. Well, then you do it. But the Navajo Nation needs to uphold its promise that it will utilize and stand by the Navajo Business Opportunity Act. So if there's a breakdown there, somebody's not doing their job, there is going to be a breakdown. Now, when you start with the Navajo Nation, and this is something that I'm going to particularly look at, what President Begay's administration is going to do, is that, I mean, he is fully aware of what NBOA, the Navajo Business Opportunity Act, is all about. And what some of the issues that I had when I was right there, and I've collaborated with him. I've had a lot of in-depth conversation about the philosophies and how that NBOA should be working or is not working right now. And so while we're sitting here denying businesses, now, why don't people realize that all of this money from the Navajo Nation has been gotten in everybody who is a registered voter and also their census number and what have you, and they get this federal federal money, and the Navajo Nation is operating, has several resources, including taxes, and there's a lot of things coming into the general fund. And whether that particular dollar that enters in and is paid to the president or is paid to the chapter president or paid to a tribal employee, it's all coming from the same source in the name of the Navajo Nation government. So for somebody to say, no, we're not going to use our Navajo Nation government, why would an administration or a department or a purchasing agent or a business regulatory person or anybody that is Navajo deny a contract from a Navajo business whose money it belongs to, and that particular businessman or woman, their census number and their voting registration was utilized to encumber that money? So in other words, it's all of our money. So why are we sitting here, you know, if that should happen? And I hope not. And I hope that's not what Russell Begay or Jonathan Nez or his administration is about. Because that's one of the things that I totally, absolutely do not agree with. And I don't think that you should agree with that either. And if you are in that capacity listening to this radio show, you know what? That attitude's got to change. That attitude should not even be in your mind or even in your vocabulary, because you are now in the capacity where you are now trying to build the Navajo Nation government. You are now a public servant because you're elected, and once you're elected and you're appointed, you become public property, and you're a public servant, and you're doing service not only for people who supported you, but people who did not support you as well. They're all the same people. And so you shouldn't be sitting here safeguarding because of a political difference. That money that belongs to you and belongs to that particular business owner. And so these are some of the things that really, in my opinion, define administration. Let me give you an example of one other thing that I heard. I started a Navajo Chamber of Commerce. No matter where you are, whether you're on the Navajo Nation or anywhere, how many Chamber of Commerces are there? There's thousands upon thousands all the way across the board. Now, Ben Shelley started these townhouse when he came into office. And he invited, and there's different topics throughout the Navajo Nation. But in this particular case, I said, you know what, one of the prerequisites that you guys ought to do is you have got to start thinking about the business. So at that point, that's where a whole bunch of people, it was advertised that business people were coming together in a roundtable discussion. And all of the division directors were there, and president and vice president. And the business people got there. And the whole idea was that they just had a conversation. But in that meeting, I'm the one that got up because I started another chamber called the Utah Native American Chamber of Commerce. And I've been in a member of the Navajo Chamber. I mean, the Salt Lake Chambers and different chambers here in the state of Utah. And I know how and the purpose and how they work. And because of that, that gave me the understanding to be able to say, okay, you know what? What we're talking about here on this particular day with Ben Shelley in this what's called the Business Roundtable, the result of this particular meeting ought to be a development of a chamber. Now, whether four or five chambers started from there, wonderful. Because Salt Lake Valley has how many chambers? You've got Salt Lake City, Salt Lake Chamber of Commerce. You've got the Holiday Chamber. You got the Sandy Chamber, West Valley Chamber. You've got the Hispanic Chamber, Asian Chamber, Pacific Islander Chamber. I mean, you name it. That's just only like 1% of the entire chamber. They all have their agenda, and they all at times collaborate with one another. And one could, you know, obviously Salt Lake Chamber, they have the biggest, and they work with Utah State government and all the governments on a one-to-one basis, and they oversee a lot of the Utah monies that come in. But those people know how to use the chamber through unity. They might not agree on the individual basis. They might be competitors, but under the umbrella of the chamber, they stay together, unified, and keeping the government in check. Well, that's how this Navajo Chamber started. I said, okay, after the meeting was over, I said, ladies and gentlemen, for all those that are interested, let's go across the hallway and let's form a chamber. And we went over to the next room, and maybe 40 people followed me over there. I sat down. I conducted the meeting. I used Robert's rules. And I basically said, I called this meeting to order. This is going to be the first meeting. And at this point, the purpose of this meeting is that we're going to form a chamber. And right now, I'd like to entertain the idea that we're going to come up with a steering committee. And the steering committee will then organize the chamber and the bylaws, the structure, the mission statement, and also all of the standing committees and all of that. If you know what a nonprofit or what a board membership, these are some of the things that you ought to know. And so I looked far and wide. A lot of these people came forward and said, I'm a business owner. I want to be part of this. I want to do this. I want to do that. It was wonderful. And so the response was absolutely wonderful. But here's the thing. Business and a chamber is a very private business. Although it works with the government, and these are some of the misunderstandings. And I heard that Ben Shelley said that the chamber was my idea. Well, I'll tell you what. He's lying. And he's wrong. That's misinformation. I'm the one that thought of it. I'm the one that started it. And I tried to tell the people who were part of the original group that this is how a chamber should work. And it was in the bylaws. It was in everything. But unfortunately, this thing about vindictiveness. That started filtering in. I said, ladies and gentlemen, this is about the business. And we, no matter what it is, it's not about a personal thing, but it did become a personal thing. And still to this day, there's misrepresentation about what the original Navajo Chamber of Commerce. Now, the Navajo Chamber of Commerce, nobody can stop that, and nobody should, in their right mind, try to stop the Navajo Chamber, the original chamber, to run and operate along with other chambers. Who's to say there can't be another chamber over in Western Navajo? or even northern, eastern, and also southern, where have you, whatever town, whoever wants to run with the chamber. But the whole idea is that no matter where they're at, because that only helps the people in the Western Agency, because they're able to get together over there, they send a representative to have all the chambers meet and meet with the president, meet with the purchasing agency. That's how you work together. But the people who literally misrepresented themselves as business owners, come to find out, were not business owners. They were either salespeople or representatives for another corporation. But in the bylaws, the head of the Navajo Chambers was supposed to be all 100% business owners. But there were people that I can honestly say that were in the leadership, in the leadership capacity, who actually did run their own business. Like in my case, I started it. It's under my name, and so forth. Then there was several others. I can honestly say there's probably 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 that were real business owners. And they were not an employee for another corporation. So I think in that case is where the oath of office also said that they're going to work on oath of office that they had to sign. It said that they, while they're working this capacity, to be 100% behind the concept of the chamber, and if there's any differences, yada, yada. That was all listed there. And also it said that if they were appointed or elected into a leadership, which is the executive, which is the president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer, those four had to absolutely be 100% Navajo-owned business, or they had to be 100%, they had to be Navajo who owned the business 100%, okay? And so that's where the differences started coming in, because I started discovering that some of these people never operated a business. And, you know, and I'll tell you the truth. If you want to know more about that, you know what, I'm not in a position to sit here and say, but if there's the truth behind certain ideas, and but no matter what, and it takes me back to the money. This money is all coming down from the same source. It's like water. Water coming down, and then it's distributed here, there. Everybody drinks, but everybody drinks from the same trough, so to speak. Same thing. Here's the cookie jar. Navajo Nation, whether you're the president or whether you're a contractor or whether you're a division director, you're all drawing from the same money, because the money that goes in there comes from and is gotten in the name of the Navajo people. And so while we're sitting here talking about, okay, why do people say and go in there and say, okay, well, you know what, that's like saying we can't have that many food vendors who sell the same products. Well, that's just totally unrealistic. You cannot have just one Navajo taco stand on the Navajo Nation. Therefore, to say there should not be just one chamber. I welcome all the chambers, and they should be working against each other. I welcome more business. And if they are the same, fortunately, the Navajo Nation is big enough that everybody can start their businesses at various different parts, but we need support. And that's where it comes back to the Russell Begay administration. How focused are they to be able to implement this true harmony, inclusion of everybody, and to be able to realize that they are public servants? They are not the king or queen of the Navajo Nation. This is not a dictatorship. This is a democracy where it creates equal rights, and how much of the people, you know, are they going to, are of maybe President Begay might totally feel, totally feel this way, the way I'm talking about, or maybe his cabinet might not say, might not believe in this. Maybe his cabinet, his campaign staff, now is been hired and they're working for, and somebody comes in, and that idea never gets to the president himself. In other words, that's where the gatekeepers. That's, and that's always the problem with every administration. And so if I see that, if you see that, we should not support that type of a divisive and a vindictive attitude. The time has come that the Navajo Nation needs to work together, that the Navajo people, yes, we might be in opposition, but that was during the game. After the game, we shake hands and we salute and we move on. So, and so how much of that are we going to live? Are they going to live by? Well, not only that, how much of that are you going to live by? And how much of that do you believe is the fair thing to do? We only have about 3 minutes left in the show. And so... Sorry. You know, be nice to hear from you, and so that we can have a chat. So maybe you can say something within the last 3 minutes. So just going to take a real quick break, and let's see what we can do. This is Cal Nez. You're in the Politics on Navajo Nation. Thank you for listening.
Politics on the Navajo Nation, the official Navajo Talk Radio, hosted by Cal Nez.
Jonathan Nez, and we're going to continue the discussion, various different parts of the administration, and not only whether it's Russell Begay, and if Christus Cheney went in, same thing would be, we're going to be talking about his administration, whether it was Joe Shirley, the same thing, and because all of these questions apply to any political candidate, and that also goes for people at the chapter level, is that they are, the leadership is only as good as the people who they surround themselves with. And I'm going to be very much looking for who is a team member who believes in team work. It's not only talking about within a department, but the team, and is a good family member for all the Navajo Nation who truly believes in, yeah, no matter what, we should all be looking forward to that. And we will, we should welcome to that and give Navajos an opportunity to grow. The next topic that I want to talk about on the next show is going to be about this. Sharing profits. There is a way to do it, and you know, I'd like to get some feedback from you. We have casino, we have business, and so forth and so forth, and I believe there's a way we can make that thing happen. So we will talk to you on Sunday night, and have a wonderful evening. DEI class, you know. Again, not he did. Talk to you soon.
Politics on the Navajo Nation, the official Navajo Talk Radio, hosted by Cal Nelson.